Well, we come to the fifth seal. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God. Everybody take a big breath right now. Boy, we're just really intense right now. I can feel it. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. They called out in a loud voice, "How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" Then each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer until the full number of their fellow servants and brothers who were to be killed as they had been completed. You know, when I read that part of that verse, I again am reminded God has a pattern. He's got a line you don't cross. And he's saying to these people, a little bit longer, they're just almost to the end of how much I'm going to take, and then I will act. You be patient. I've set my line. I know where my limit is, and then I will act in full accord with my justice. Well, first of all, where do we see them? Remember, where is John? John is in the throne room, and he is looking at the throne of God. And he sees these people under the altar of God. Folks, we are not supposed to pity these people. Some of us may be those people, and we're still not supposed to pity them. For heaven's sake, where are they? They're in the presence of God. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Yes, these people are people who will live, who will give their lives for the Lord. They will not love their life so much, but they will be faithful even unto death. Now, let's go back to our original little dispute. Does the church leave here, or do we have to be here during this? All those in favor of going here... Sorry, you don't get to vote on that one. Because if you did, we'd all vote there, and I would agree with you. But I have struggled with this. You know, Blake and I have talked about this issue. I have researched this as much as I can. And let me just tell you the sum total conclusion I have come to this on this thing. The Jesus who died for me is a Jesus worth dying for. Some of you got it, but I'm not sure everybody else did. The Jesus who died for me is a Jesus worth dying for. Amen? If that is not our faith, do you know why Abraham was credited as righteous? Because he believed God. The Bible says in Hebrews, make no mistake, Abraham was going to kill Isaac. You know why? Abraham reasoned God could raise the dead. Abraham was saved by faith in the resurrection. Go figure. Isn't that what our faith is about? What can man do to me? He can't do anything to me. You can take my life. So what? You know, remember when you were a little kid and they had those little blow-up dolls and you'd punch them and they'd fall down and boop and you'd hit them again. They'd, you know what I'm talking about? The little... Thought it was a really good illustration, but some of you are looking sort of glazed... The point is, knock me down, God resurrects me. He brings me right back up. And when he does, I will stand in judgment on those people who knocked me down. We either believe, you know, it is not enough to come here every spring and say that we believe in the resurrection of Jesus. If you only believe in the resurrection of Jesus and you don't believe in your own resurrection, you do not have the faith of Abraham. You do not have what it takes to see you through the hour in which we live. Even if you don't go into the tribulation, you don't have it. It is not just faith in what he did. It is faith in what he has promised to do for me. If I die, Job said, yet will I see him. With my own eyes, in my own flesh, I will see him. Job 19:25. This is our hope. This is our faith. If we don't have that, we will never survive this. Because let me just tell you this. Before we even get here, there's going to be some really nasty things happening out here. Even if you believe we're going here. And I don't happen to believe that. But things happen in process. And the process is already beginning. You know, I live in Oklahoma City, and I tell people, you don't have to be a prophet to see what's going on in this country. There's a road that goes out of Oklahoma City. It's called I-35 South. If I get up there on my Jeep and I get on that road and I stay on that road, I'm going to Dallas, Texas. Now, I can pray all the way down there, oh God, I don't want to go to Dallas, Texas. But if I stay on that road, that's where I'm going, because that's where that road goes. And I don't have to be a prophet to be able to pick up the newspaper and turn on the TV and see the road we are on. We are headed straight to hell and destruction in this country. If God doesn't judge us, and I know you've heard this cliche before, but honestly, if He doesn't judge this nation, He definitely owes Sodom and Gomorrah an apology. Because there's a whole lot more of us than there were of them, and we're doing a whole lot more. And we don't just do it in our own country, we export it to everywhere. It kills me to go to Israel and turn on the TV and see what we export over there. It's unbelievable. Will believers die? The fifth seal says yes. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6 says, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. For what can man do to me?"